This morning, God's Word comes to us from the New Testament book of Jude, the second to the last book of the New Testament. The Epistle of Jude, we'll be reading the 25 verses of this book. The book of Jude, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people, who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit.' But you, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of the Psalter hymnals to page 83 in the back section of the hymnal. This is the Belgic Confession of Faith, and this morning we will read Article 29. That begins in the bottom of 83 and continues to the top of 84. Article 29 is entitled, The Marks of the True Church and Wherein It Differs from the False Church. We believe that we ought diligently and circumspectly to discern from the Word of God which is the true church, since all sects which are in the world assume to themselves the name of the church. But we speak not here of hypocrites, who are mixed in with the church with the good, yet are not of the church, though externally in it. But we say that the body and communion of the true church must be distinguished from all sects that call themselves the church. The marks by which the true church is known are these. If the pure doctrine of the gospel is preached therein, if it maintains the pure administration of the sacraments as instituted by Christ, if church discipline is exercised in punishing of sin, in short, if all things are managed according to the pure word of God, all things contrary thereto rejected, and Jesus Christ acknowledged as the only head of the church. Hereby, the true church may certainly be known, from which no man has a right to separate himself. With respect to those who are members of the church, they may be known by the marks of Christians, namely, by faith, and when having received Jesus Christ, the only Savior, they avoid sin, follow after righteousness, love the true God and their neighbor, neither turn aside to the right or the left, and crucify the flesh with the works thereof. But this is not to be understood as if they did not remain in them great infirmities. But they fight against them through the Spirit all the days of their life, continually taking their refuge in the blood, death, passion, and obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom they have remission of sins through faith in Him. As for the false church, it ascribes more power and authority to itself and its ordinances than to the Word of God, and will not submit itself to the yoke of Christ. Neither does it administer the sacraments as appointed by Christ in His Word, but adds to and takes from them, as it thinks proper. It relies more upon men than upon Christ, and persecutes those who live holily according to the Word of God, and rebuke it for its errors, covetousness, and idolatry. These two churches are easily known and distinguished from each other. This is our confession of faith. Well, we have together been talking about the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in that last section of the Belgian Confession dealing with the church. We have talked about the character of the church. It is one church. It is a holy church. It is a Catholic church. We have talked about the obligation to belong to this church. We should not separate ourselves from it. If we need to belong to the church, that leads us to the question, well then, how do we know what church we should belong to? What does a good church look like? I'm sometimes asked that. People will say, hey, I'm moving to this area, or I'm going to be visiting this area. Do you know a good church in the area? Well, I'm not sure what a good church is. I think different people have different understandings of what a good church is. We'll talk about a good church in just a couple minutes, but I think it's more important to use the words of the confession to look for a true church. To look for a true church, not just a good church. This article in the Belgian Confession is probably one of the more well-known articles. What are the marks of the true church? And we have talked together the last couple of Sundays about the sacraments, properly administering the sacraments. We've talked about that together as we've had the Lord's Supper, as we've celebrated baptism. We have talked about church discipline not recently, but in our last two series through the Heidelberg Catechism, talking about the discipline of the church. This morning we're going to focus on that first mark of the church, that the true, pure doctrine of the gospel is preached therein. In fact, the preaching of the gospel is somewhat the summary of all of these things. Our confession says, in short, if all things are managed according to the pure word of God. Is the word of God taking central place in the life of the church? Jude was warning this congregation, these people, that that would not always be the case. He says, I wanted to write you about that gospel. I wanted to write you about that glorious faith that we share, our common salvation. But I found it necessary to write something else. To write to appeal that you contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. There are going to come those, Jude says, who do not preach the true gospel. Who do not bring us the word of God. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. They pervert the grace of God and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. He warns them about false teachers in the church. Jude doesn't warn so much about those who are in the world claiming the church is wrong. He says they have come in. They are inside the church. And they are preaching things that are not right. Contend for that faith once delivered for all. Then you will know that you are in a true church. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Looking for a true church. And again, I said, we have to begin with the proper question. It's not so much, let's find a good church. Because I don't know exactly what a good church is. For some people, a big church is a good church. A church with 100, 200, 300, 400 members and lots of things going on, lots of programs, lots of activities. That's a good church. For some, a small church is a good church. A church of 200, 150, a small church is a good church. For some, a good church is a church with a building. That's a good church. For others, they'd prefer not to have a permanent location, to be more transient in their worship. For some, a good church is an old church, is an established church, where everyone knows what to expect. We know how we do things here. For some, a good church is a brand new church, the excitement of not knowing exactly how we do things here, the excitement of perhaps doing something different or new. That's a good church. Good can be a church with progressive worship, a church with traditional worship, however you define those terms. It's hard to know what's a good church. We all have different opinions about that. But I would suggest the proper question is not finding a good church, but finding a true church. Now, we certainly hope those two things do coincide, at least at some point. But there may be churches which are externally good. They look fine. They have a nice building. They have lots of members. They have lots of programs. But they're not true. Are we finding a true church in which we worship? A true church where we and our family and our children gather Lord's Day after Lord's Day to be instructed in the Word of God. True church versus false church. Now that's harsh language. That's language that makes me a little uncomfortable, I have to say. To declare some churches to be a false church. But if they are not living up to God's intention, if they are not fulfilling His desire, we don't simply say they're a bad church. We say they're a false church. We live in a time where there's a movement toward a great ecumenicity and to try to find the least common denominator on which we can all agree. But if churches do not agree on the most fundamental truth, Jesus Christ and the gospel that He came to save sinners, we don't say that they're a bad church. We have to, with humility, say they're a false church. We talked about this just this past Wednesday night at our study of the history of the United Reformed Churches. Churches that were, what we said, were on the board and churches that were off the board. That did not follow the Bible. When we meet up with a Muslim who is religiously going to mosque and we talk about their religious commitments, we don't just say, you know, that's a bad church you go to. We say, that's a false church. When we meet up with Mormons, with those who are who are following Eastern religions. We want to be gentle. We want to be humble. We want to be patient. But we don't just say it's a bad church you're going to. It's a false church. Unless the gospel of Jesus Christ is evident. And there's punishment for those who are in a false church. Jude reminds them of that. He takes them back in history. I want to remind you, you once knew it fully. Jesus Christ saved the people out of the land of Egypt. He afterward destroyed those who did not believe. If we do not put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we do not find the church where that is central, Jesus Christ and what He has done for us, there's punishment. They were destroyed, Jude says. Even though they'd been delivered, they refused to believe. And afterwards He destroyed those. Even the angels, He said, did not keep their place of authority, but left their proper dwelling. They did not stay where they belonged, but they went elsewhere. He says, they have been now left in chains for eternity, in gloomy darkness. Unless we think Jude is simply giving us spiritual pictures, he reminds them of a real reality. He reminds them of Sodom and Gomorrah. Those who refuse to hear the call, and they serve, Jude says, and as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. It's important. It's absolutely vital to find a true church for us and for our children. If we move away, if we look for another church to go to, what do we look for? A church that meets our needs? A church that fills all our desires? Or a church where the focus is on Jesus Christ and what He has done? We must be careful not to fall into the trap of simply trying to find a good church, or even worse, trying to find a perfect church. The church in this world will never be perfect. We will never find that one church with which we have complete agreement. And we know why that is, because the church is made up of sinners, beginning with the minister and the office bearers and the rest of the congregation. We will never find the perfect church. But can we find a true church? A church where Jesus Christ and what He has done is central. That has to be what we look for as we look for a church home. Because the preaching of the gospel is, as I said, the clear and central mark of the church. Oh, preaching, sacraments, discipline, all related. And those sacraments are the visible word of God. So they're connected with the preaching of the word. The discipline has to do with those who no longer believe that truth and are living in ways that are false and away from God. So the word calls them back. But the word of God is at the heart. And the preaching of that word, the most clear mark of the true church. I would suggest that there are people today, maybe even right now, who are believing that they are sitting in church, who are believing they are in a church and they are not. It may have a great building. It may have wonderful programs. But the preaching doesn't bring us to Christ. I was talking with a man a while ago, and he said, you know, I belong to this great church, and it's got all these things going for it. But on Sunday, we never hear about Jesus. We hear about how to be a better father, how to be a better husband, how to raise children, how to have good finances, how to work hard at our jobs. But we never are brought to the foot of the cross. That's because you're not in church. Church brings us to Christ and to what He has done. That has to be central to talk about this glorious salvation. Jesus Christ and His work of atonement. Acknowledging our sinfulness. Acknowledging our frailty. I think I've said before, the gospel is not our sinfulness. The gospel is Christ taking away our sins. Our sinfulness is, I can use this language, pre-gospel. We have to know it, be aware of it, be called to account. But the gospel is Jesus Christ and what he has done. And there are those who are leading so-called churches who are not bringing us that message. Jude warns about them. He says in verse 11, "Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain. Cain, who had no love for God, no love for his brother, Cain, who actually killed his brother, wanted to express his own desires, his own ways, rather than God's ways. These churches are those," he says, "which walk in the way of Cain and abandon themselves for the sake of the gain to Balaam's error." Balaam was a prophet for hire. If you paid Balaam, he would say what you want him to say. And there are ministers doing the same thing today. You pay them enough and they'll tell you whatever you want. You're great people. You're wonderful people. But they will never remind you that you are only that way because of what Christ has done. Because he has washed you and he has cleansed you. Woe to them, for they have followed Balaam's way and perished in Korah's rebellion. Korah, who defied the leadership of God's people. Korah, who wanted to do things all his own. There are those today who defy the leadership of the church, who defy Jesus Christ and build a monument to themselves. And then we are concerned with the man, not the message. Then we are concerned with the preacher, not the preaching. It is to be just the other way around. As for the false church, it ascribes more power and authority to itself and its ordinances than to the Word of God, and will not submit itself to the yoke of Christ. The glories of Jesus Christ, the central mark of the true church. Otherwise it's useless. He gives us these pictures here. It is like shepherds leading themselves, waterless clouds swept along by wind. Clouds which are supposed to bring rain, refreshing rain and life to the ground, waterless. No good, bringing nothing, swept along by the wind. It is like fruitless trees in late summer, twice dead, uprooted. Trees which are supposed to bring forth fruit and be a blessing to those around, no fruit, so they're rooted up, twice dead. It is like wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame. The waves of the water churning up all the garbage, but no truth there. It is like wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. Those stars which are supposed to give light are now in utter darkness forever. If the gospel, if Jesus Christ is not present, we are not in a bad church. We're in a false church. And so Jude wants to encourage them. Remember, he said, this is no surprise. You just remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, he wants to encourage them, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. He calls them, in spite of the false churches around, of the tendency to go toward false church, to remain faithful to the Word of God. Building themselves up in the most holy faith. Being strengthened with the Word of God so they can recognize the false teachings when they come in the church. That's one of the reasons we gather together, is to become strong in the Lord, strong in His Word. So when a teaching comes that does not match with the Word of God, we recognize it right away. That is being built up in that most holy faith. Recognizing the lawless ones, recognizing those who come with a false or short gospel, that don't bring the true word of Jesus Christ. Building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying that God would keep the church pure. Is that a part of your prayer? We pray for the church, and I know you pray for the office bearers of the church. I know you pray for each other, but do we pray that God would keep His church
pure, not necessarily good. I want the church to be good, but that it be pure. That God would keep error from the midst of his people, praying in the Holy Spirit as faithful followers of Christ, that God would protect his people as he has promised to do. Remaining, he says, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Remaining in God's love. Remaining where God's love is expressed in the context of the church. Remaining within the fellowship of the people of God. Not being content to be on our own, to be by ourselves, but remaining where God's love is expressed, where his word is declared. That's part of being a faithful follower and attending to a true church. Waiting on the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and have mercy on others. Expressing our concern actively to those around us. Recognizing that God in his goodness has placed us in a true church. And having us then respond with thanksgiving in the way that we deal with those around us, in the mercy that we show to his people. When you're looking for a church, what do you look for? I can't help but think of so thankful for all of our college students here. You're going to be leaving at some point. You're going to be going somewhere else. You're going to be starting a family, starting a job, starting whatever. You're going to have to find the church. What do you look for? Do you look for a good church? One that meets your needs? One that makes you feel good? One that satisfies all your desires? Or is your first concern a true church? That whether they meet in a huge facility or in a school gymnasium, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is at the center of the ministry of the word. That Sunday after Sunday, we are reminded of what he has done for us. Poor, helpless sinners that we are, he has saved us. He has washed us. He has cleansed us. My friends, don't look just for the good church. Seek out the true church. And God promises there we will have his blessing. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your word. A word which you have given to guide, to direct, and to lead us. A word which reveals to us your way with your people and the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we seek, O God, always to be fed upon that message, Jesus Christ and him crucified. May that be the most important thing as we seek where we might become members of your true church. And may everything else then become secondary. Oh, we know, O God, the preaching of the word is connected with the sacraments, it's connected with discipline, but it all flows from that word of God. Strengthen us, O God, to find that true church where the gospel is preached, where we are reminded again of the glories of Christ in spite of our own sinfulness and brought to ways of praise and worship and obedience. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.